Oh, hello, everyone. Before we get started with today's episode, I just wanted to take a second to thank each and every one of you. It's been a long 350 episodes, and, you know, I just am doing this for fun. I hope you're enjoying every episode you've listened to. I'd also like to thank every single person who's been a guest. I've had a lot of very fun and interesting conversations with each and every one of them. So thank you, everyone. And now for our first live recorded episode that I've maybe lightly edited, but for the most part, it's unabridged. Enjoy! Life's but a song, so you can sing along with my special guest, or two, or four. You'd like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah! Welcome to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals, and our very first live episode. Woo! Yeah! I'm your host, John. Woo! Thank you. And with me today is my co-host and music director for tonight, Nick Bomasino. And we've got a very special panel of guests. From Broadway by Ghostlight, a YouTube channel, it's Mark Benani! From Glee, Aggressive, and his hit single, Trash Panda, it's Ian Brodsky! And then one third of the love of cinema, last on episode 224, Reefer Madness, it's Jeff Ostermuller, everyone!
Go. I did, yeah, thank
okay,
you.
Everyone turn their mics on?
Everyone.
I didn't memorize the music, so I'm going to need my emotional support sheet music with me.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. Because the world is round, because the wind is high,
Don't worry, we are going to talk about this movie. It's not all singing.
It's so good.
As you saw, hopefully on like socials and everything, today we're here to talk about Across the Universe from 2007. The screenplay is by Dick Clement and Ian LaFranias.
Different Ian.
Story by Dick Clement, Ian Franias, and Julie Taymor. Music and lyrics by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. For the most part, there are some songs where they let George Harrison write one. And I think Ringo wrote one too, I'm not sure. It was directed by Julie Taymor, and according to IMDb, the music of the Beatles and the Vietnam War formed the backdrop for the romance between an upper-class American girl and a poor Liverpudlian artist. That is their word, not mine, because I don't know what that means. So, yes. Where do you all want to start? What do you want to start with?
From the top.
From the top.
Okay, so I have a wild theory about this movie, because while thinking about it when we were performing and discussing all this, I was wondering why they use Beatles music for a very American tale. So, let me get to my card. Hold on. So, England was not involved in Vietnam at all. I don't know if anyone knows history. I certainly don't, so I didn't know that. So, why use a British band for an American tale? And I think the answer lies in the characters. Like, each character represents something very different. You know, Lucy is the collegiate youth of the time, and Max is the outcome of the Vietnam War, and I think our buy-in to the Beatles is Jude. How do we feel?
From Liverpool to America?
British.
Liverpudlian.
Yeah. But also, he starts the movie out with Girl. And yes. I was like, wait, but like, why? Why? Jude is a terrible character, if you think about it. He cheats on everybody.
Yes, I did have that in my notes.
he's such a straight guy.
Yeah, these are my notes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Am I the only one that took notes?
I texted them to myself, so I would have to go through my thread.
No, I have to know
we had an assignment?
No, I have to take notes, otherwise I'm going to forget, and then I'm still going to forget.
These are very well organized, though.
You have
bullet points. And
yes.
Yeah, it's really well structured.
I can do a Harvard outline.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
This is all I want from guests, to take notes and just talk. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. It pops. Yeah.
I don't really have that many notes either. All I have are IMDb trivia facts in case the... For example, Because is written in three parts because John, Paul, and George are the original ones who sang it, and they overdubbed each other three times. So in the movie, there are 9 people singing it because of that reason. Let me tell you also, the IMDb trivia facts are all based around the little minutia that happen in the movie where they're like, oh, the Beatles did this as well, you know? Like, the story for Dear Prudence is that the Beatles and a bunch of celebrities were at an ashram in India, and whose sister was it? It was Mia Farrow's sister, Prudence, wouldn't leave her living quarters to join the other students, and this inspired John Lennon to write Dear Prudence. And that's why they sing it in the movie, to get her out of the closet, both metaphorically and literally.
He's going to say happy pride, everyone.
Happy pride!
Happy pride!
Yes, even Prudence is a metaphor for, you know, like hippies and queerness. She is the most useless character in this movie, but that is her representation.
It's a good opening song, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, it was Someday from The Wedding Singer, her song where she's in the marching band, you know what I mean? Maybe 10 Things I Hate About You.
What?
What?
Is that not in your notes?
No, because they're my notes, and I watched a different movie.
The Wedding Singer didn't have a marching band.
I only thought of different musicals during different times of this movie. You didn't do that?
Well, no, I mean, I will say, like, the first, like, 5 to 10 minutes of this with, like, Girl and To Helter Skelter and To Hold Me Tight, it was very much, like, Grease meets Rent, and then you have Jude, and that's very Billy Elliot core.
You know what I had?
What?
I had The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
Meets All Shook Up.
Do you need the music to the songs? To
I had Annie meets... No, I didn't. Meets Miss Sega. No,
That's a.
I want it though. Well, I want to see it.
Well, yeah, now we need gotta write that. It. Copyright. TikTok. Copyright it now. Get it. Get right it now. Written down. Yeah.
Annie meets Miss Saigon.
Yeah.
She owns the helicopter.
Everything is so important.
Did she inherit the helicopter?
Of course she did. Her last name is Warbucks now.
I'm so glad we're here to talk about Across the Universe. Everybody. So yeah, what Ian? Since you have your notes, what else do you have written down?
I mean, okay. So I just so when John sends out.
Just scroll, there's like five more pages.
I have so many notes! Okay, so, and because there's a lot of songs in this movie, and when you sent out the outline, you basically went song by song. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just sort of chronologue, I'm going to go by song here. And then I did, and I have just theses. Can you hold my mic?
Okay, so for those who are not here, or not live streaming right now, the ones that are listening to this, Ian just showed us, is that actually my outline that I sent you, or is that your own?
It's based on your outline, because it's just the songs, and then the notes for said song.
And he was scrolling for a solid minute, everyone who's listening to this.
Did you, so this is on an iPad, this is in your notes app?
Yes.
Did you type, did you like one finger at a time?
No, I have a keyboard.
He's not an animal.
Savage.
Yeah.
I gotta say, though, so we... Nick was actually the one that picked this movie.
When we were
talking about it, I don't know where you are right now, so I'm probably
directly behind you.
Yeah, so
I had forgotten that.
Yeah, when we were talking about doing this live episode, Nick was the one that like suggested something that everyone has seen, and potentially not Disney, because Disney would probably sue my ass if we were to sing the songs. So we were like, let's do Across the Universe. It's crazy. It's fun. Whatever. I totally forgot how crazy and fun this movie is while watching it. I was like, damn, like everything is practical. It is bananas editing, but like it's art and everything is a metaphor. And like I said, according to the IMDb trivia, they're like, John Lennon sneezed on this corner. And so that's why, you know, everyone is on it, picking the ground. I don't know. But I do have a personal story to tell you, and I've been sitting on this for a while. So I saw this movie when it came out in theaters in 2007. I was a freshman in college, and when I saw it, I cried 6 times during the movie.
When?
You have the list.
Yeah. I was also trying to remember, because I was really looking forward to seeing this movie, but I don't remember how I heard about it. And so I remember I cried in the opening because I was so excited to see this movie. And then I cried again during Let It Be, because obviously. I think I also cried during Strawberry Fields, because it was just like all the emotion and the artwork that's inspired here that I made last night at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I may have huffed E6000 all night. It was fun. And if you know what that is, hey-o. And then I think another time was definitely at the end, and I don't remember when the rest of them were. So I was, like, pretty embarrassed, but also it's very cathartic to admit that to a room full of people, and hundreds of people are here tonight. Yeah. So... I have this, you know, there's this one note from the trivia that I needed to say, because when you watch this movie, when we get to the song, because there's that whole underwater sequence or whatever they're supposed to be in, and this is directly from the IMDb trivia, so I'm citing my source. In order to keep the film a PG-13 rating, the MPAA set strict rules that director Julie Taymor had to follow. Taymor said that the stars in their nude scenes had to carefully position their arms and limbs to avoid showing too much flesh. In the portrait painting scene, Taymor was only allowed 2 long distance nipple shots of Lucy. They ended up having 3, and the MPAA made them cut 1. Taymor feels a rating system that exalts extra violence and squashes the most benign nudie imagery is, quote, disgusting and heinous, saying, quote, if
it were really the 1960s, all the kids would be naked and my actors wouldn't have to mime smoking marijuana. It's pathetic that we have a culture of values that's become so skewed. So what do we think?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Julie Taymor said, free the nipple.
Free the nipple.
Free the nipple.
If you directed The Lion King on Broadway, do you think you would also say whatever you want to the MPAA?
Yes. Because now she has that sweet, sweet Disney money. Like, it's been going on for a thousand years, yeah. The Lion King on Broadway.
A full millennia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Nipples galore in Lion King.
Yeah. And this one, we only got one as a treat.
We got two. There's one that you kind of see, and then Evan Rachel Wood, like, turns to camera, and it's like, bam, nipple. Like, yeah. I watched it last night. Yeah. It's very much like, oh, nipple, okay. I mean, here for it, but, you know, it was like, bam. Very blatant, too, I might add.
Because it had the Titanic thing, too, so she was like, I know.
Yeah.
You know,
oh.
Lying down on the couch.
Yeah.
Draw me like your liver-puddling girls.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for that one.
It is still life. So.
The strawberry fields, yes, being the Apple Records or whatever they're the Beatles. What
Apple owns the Beatles?
not that Apple, the other Apple, the one that the Beatles.
Apple Corps.
Thank you, Apple Corps, whoever that was, somewhere over there. I can't see you because
well
the light's
done.
Right in my face, and I like it. So, yeah, Apple Corps, and that was a lot of the facts as well on IMDb trivia that I was like, I'm not. We got, like, at least three of them said that,
the
and I
Apple
went,
Corps
guys.
Apple Corps strawberry jams?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Great. You got it right on the nose.
Great. I did love that. I thought that was really cute. I like that.
That scene is so, it's so fascinating, that scene, because I was watching it, and I was like, Jude is singing about a messy breakup, but then Max is out in Vietnam, like, living, going through a traumatic event, but none of them know what's happening. So they're both, like, he's angry, Jude's angry and dropping strawberries in paint as if they were bombs. Again, this movie's light on the metaphors. I don't know if you guys remember. You guys can talk about it too. Like, very light on the metaphors.
Much theater kid energy.
So it was
not
just
a bad thing.
It's a lot of these songs where they are duets and they're in two different worlds. Like, they're literally in two different worlds.
And one world is always Vietnam.
Yeah,
like, just Vietnam protest of 1967. Vietnam Columbia University protest. Does that sound familiar?
I was going to say it's oddly timely.
Ooh, that's a quote. If I'm going to do quotes for this one. I mean, this movie, I don't know. It's interesting that it came out in 2007, because there was also the war in, where were we in that one? Was that Iraq? Afghanistan?
Yeah, Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So it, and then it's still going on today. So we're just like, Beatles music as a way of escape or metaphor, light metaphor. Do you guys think that this could be a stage show?
No, not as it is. I don't think. I don't know. This movie is like the everything great and everything terrible about jukebox musicals.
Please go on. Elaborate.
I mean, it's got beautiful imagery and sweeping. It's like 30 music videos tied together. But when you're looking at all these imagery, I mean, it takes you out. You're now not in the story. You're now watching a director work. You're watching, you know, you're listening to lyrics that sometimes fit the moment and sometimes not, which is the biggest, I feel like, drawback of jukebox musicals.
Yeah, I mean, kind of connected to that. I mean, it did feel very, like, structured like a musical to me. Like, it kind of felt like it had sort of originally maybe been envisioned for the stage. Like, you get your I Want song because Prudence wants to hold your hand.
Like, you get your charm songs, you get, I guess, like, some 11 o'clock number at the end. Like, it kind of follows that path, and, like, I could see it being envisioned for that, but I don't know if it would translate. I'm kind of with you on the jukebox musical points, though.
I mean, and, like, the Prudence thing, getting the I Want song, she's barely in the movie at all.
I mean, yeah.
Her song is so great, but then it's like, I'm a lesbian, so I'm leaving.
Yeah, that's her whole thing.
Just packing my bags.
Yeah. Yeah, they sing Dear Prudence, and then
she
doesn't...
She won't come out of the closet.
And then she goes part of that... March protest parade thing.
It's There's Life Outside Your Apartment from Avenue Q.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. And then she disappears for a few minutes and then comes back for the benefit of Mr. Kite as the Henry the Horse or whatever. Sure.
He's from Guys and Dolls. Yeah. Harry the Horse.
So she's Harry the Horse from Guys and Dolls. In a literal horse costume and everything. I'm not making this up. If you haven't rewatched this movie in a while, oh my God.
And I do appreciate that. I think it was Sadie that was like, Prudence, what are you doing here? And she just never really responds. Like, we just kind of accept that she's now like this horse character next to Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
I was in the movie earlier, so I had to come back.
Right, like, remember me, I'm a lesbian.
Right. I was the sad lesbian.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's another character based off of another Beatles name, Rita. She's my girlfriend now.
Right.
Light metaphors again, everyone. Just, oh God, with all the character names. I don't know if you guys also were listening to the pre-show music, but that was from another Beatles musical movie called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Let's hear it for that movie. Has anyone actually watched it? Question mark. Oh yeah, people have watched it? Really? Oh my God, I did it as an episode. It is bonkers. You think this movie's crazy, you guys need to watch that one. It is bananas. Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees.
Together.
They are the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, yes. Alice Cooper sings because...
Air quotes.
Yeah, huge air quotes with that one. And then you have Steve Martin playing... the dentist, but not because it was before Little Shop of Horrors. So he sings Maxwell Silver Hammer. A song that was not in this movie, but kind of.
Yeah.
It's referenced. All of their names, if they're not actually sung in the movie, there's a reference to it. Like, Max actually bangs the fan or whatever in rhythm as Maxwell Silver Hammer. And if you're not like me, a nerd who looks up all this stuff, you probably would not get that.
Wait, can I be vulnerable on sort of this topic for a minute?
I admitted I cried 6 times during this movie, so yes, be vulnerable.
No, yours is sweet. Mine is dumb.
Okay.
It took me until like the last 10 minutes to realize that Lucy was as in the Sky with Diamonds.
Oh.
I'm being vulnerable.
I'm gonna judge you a little bit right now.
As you should.
Well, because you're surrounded by Jude, Max, Prudence, Sadie, JoJo, and okay. You're like, Lucy, you didn't
look.
Was this the first time you watched this though, or you mean like for this rewatch?
First time I've seen it in like since it came out.
I gave you a list of songs, and you see Lucy and the Sky with Diamonds on there.
I'm very focused on, like, one thing at a time. Okay. I don't know. I don't have an excuse. Like,
what was that moment like when you made the realization?
Not as exciting as you would think, I think. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's neat.
Do you think that's how this movie started? She was just like... What if there was a story with Beatles music and the guy's name was Jude?
Yeah.
Jude Feeney, by the way. Yeah. What is up with the Feeney as his last name?
He has a last name?
Jude Feeney.
Surprise.
I read the Wikipedia before this because I didn't understand this movie at
all. I noticed in the end credits, though, that they gave Max a last name but not Lucy, and they are siblings. So, in the rolling credits, and I'm like, did they give him a last name because he does the whole I Want You, She's So Heavy, which is him going downtown to be in the army or whatever.
Is his name Maxwell in the credits?
No, it has it's like Smith or something, and I'm like, but Lucy doesn't have a last name, and they are clearly siblings.
Yeah.
Why? Sexism, yes!
Sexism!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes, from a female director, sexism!
Julie Taymor said, free the nipple, but you don't get a last name.
It's so weird. For those of you who are watching, I'm watching the live stream right now in case people are writing in, and it's a little behind, and it's very weird seeing myself on this, and now I'm entranced by it.
You really are.
Actually, we have a comment from Anthony and Joe Criswell, who have been guests on this podcast as well. Billy Elliot Core is permanently in the zeitgeist of American musical films now. Thank you. Look, thank you, Anthony and Joe, whoever wrote that one. I don't know. So I have some... I was looking this up because we've seen this movie before. I'm assuming all of you have seen it before. If not, it was your first time watching it for this, or you didn't watch it for this, and that's fine. Eat too. But on IMDb, I found out that the estimated budget for this was $45 million. The final budget, according to Wikipedia, was, with you know everything else added in, was about $70.8 million. An opening weekend, it made $667,784, and the worldwide gross was just under $30 million.
Wait, three or 30?
30.
Oh.
So, it's a bomb, but like...
You mean Julie Taymor inflated a budget and then didn't deliver? What?
What? Mark, you are out for blood tonight.
It's shocking. Shocking information.
And this is also the film where she met Bono. Well, obviously she met Bono because he's in this movie. And then they...
God, is he in this movie?
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
He puts on a performance.
Yep.
He, you know, his... When he sings... what is this song?
Why the Walrus.
Thank you.
And it was just him for 3.5 minutes. They didn't give you any of the weird, like, druggy sequences. It was like, let's just follow him around for 3.5 minutes.
Well, they do because they use a little sound waves and everything, and then
they
fuck with the color on that bus. It's wild. There's like a whole. They're all like, we're stoned.
It was very PG-13 version of a drug trip. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know what they.
Mrs. Frisbee meets the Magical Mystery Tour.
Mrs. Frisbee.
Mrs. Who?
And the Rats of Nim. No, wait, was it... What's your name?
Miss Frizzle?
Miss Frizzle!
Miss Frizzle!
I got you.
Mrs. Frisbee, everyone.
Mrs. Frisbee.
Mrs. Frisbee.
Oh, Mrs. Excuse me.
Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of the
Mrs.
Magical
Frisbee
School
is
bus.
Like when you order Miss Frizzle on Wish, and you just get Miss Frisbee.
Timu.com, Miss Frizzle.
I should have taken better notes.
You should have taken notes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I have
notes. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Scroll.
Yeah,
keep scrolling.
I have to go through my messages.
Did you message yourself?
I was going to say, I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to.
So did they swallow semen for the x-ray? Or was you said it was cotton balls?
It was cotton balls.
I'm
but
sorry.
They talk,
semen?
What?
That was a transition.
They did they?
It's cotton balls. It was cotton balls.
Cotton balls.
Did they mention semen, though?
No, not really.
He was a sailor.
Did you watch the movie?
No, yes. They did it, and they talked about it.
He talks about the cotton balls.
Yeah.
So that shows up on the x-ray.
You watch Legs Uncrossed the Universe. Right. The porn version.
And that's another quote, everyone, for the episode. No. He admits... After they do that riveting dance sequence, which, I mean, seriously, it is gorgeous to watch, because...
I loved it.
That's that whole, I want you, is... Everything is practical, and they have the sets flying in and everything. But at the end of the song, he admits that he has a spot on his lawn, he's gay, he's this, he's that. And then the guy's like, as long as you don't have flat feet, welcome to the army.
Yeah.
Sure, yes.
One he didn't say.
Yeah, the one.
Yeah.
The one.
Flat feet.
It's a lot of information that they throw at you in this movie at once.
Yeah.
But, like, it's so... idealized, I feel like. I don't know. I didn't live through this time period, so I'm not sure, like, if even I Am the Walrus is real, or if it's, like, some imaginary Julie Taymor did some drugs and figured out, hey, let's have everyone be crazy in this party. Woo!
That's why the budget was so inflated.
That's where the extra, what, $45 million went to? Great.
Yeah.
It's all the semen.
LSD and drugs. And semen. Yeah, okay.
Semen and drugs, yes.
Helps with the lighting.
But mostly the semen.
Yeah.
But mostly the strawberries. So what like...
Original title. Semen and strawberries.
Semen and strawberries.
Semen and strawberries. Forever.
What has this become? What is this become?
I have to say, though, that they did get the rights to, like, over 30 songs, and there's really only one that was cut from, like, that they filmed and everything, and that is And I Love Her. On the DVD, I also own the DVD, but I bought this on Prime because I want to give it more money. There's a deleted scene of And I Love Her where JoJo sings it at the piano while Sadie's naked in bed. It's only 50 seconds, and I don't know where in the movie it would fit. And this movie's already like 2 hours and 12 minutes long, so I'm like, just add it. It's another minute. Who cares?
It's odd that in this Beatles film, there's this whole, like, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin subplot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thrown in there.
Yeah, and apparently Sadie was written for Dana Fuchs, so it was very... It's very like, okay, we're going to have you do Janis Joplin, kind of, but...
Janie Jimplin.
Yeah, but we're not making a whole Janis Joplin movie, but we're going to have you play the character in a coy way. And they're, again, very subtle with all the references here. Very subtle.
Yeah.
So, here's another fun fact. Apparently, in 2020, does everyone remember 2020? By the way,
yeah.
I try to black it out every night. Julie Taymor announced that she's developing a sequel set in the 70s with even more Beatles music. And allegedly, Jim Sturgess and Evan Rachel Wood are in discussions to reprise their roles. I want to know what that movie's going to be.
It's going to be based around Obladi, I think.
Obladi, yeah.
Maybe they'll actually fit in Sgt. Pepper's like they wanted to.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
Yeah, it's oh. Baby, would you drive my car? That's a whole scene. They go to the car salesman and, you know.
I mean, they've got to incorporate Studio 54, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Why not? They're already in New York.
Yeah.
They're going to come back, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
If they come back, they have to do it in Studio 54, and there's oh, I'm hoping there's a disco Beatles song that they're going to do. I now want it. I don't know which one, though.
All of them.
Even the 30 in this one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just a medley. Just yeah. All straight through.
Just a medley of Beatles songs.
Yes.
All the songs that didn't make that. What songs would, you know what I mean? It's like they used a lot of the A sides here in this movie.
Well, I mean, we heard a few of them in the pre-show. I mean, they actually can use Maxwell Silver Hammer, I guess, this time. What's another good
one? I mean, I feel like the one that I was always surprised wasn't in this because it's just sort of handed to you plot wise is Eleanor Rigby. Because so that could also be in the sequel.
Or Penny Lane.
And where's
Penny
Father Lane. McKenzie? Where is he? I don't know.
You're just listing the cast list for the
yeah,
show.
Basically.
Yes, characters. In the sequel.
Yes, you're right.
And then they can
Penny
they can,
Lane gets together with.
Well,
Eleanor
could they
Rigby.
Do? Could they do yeah. Penny Lane if Almost Famous already like has a Penny Lane? Like, is
Why
there going to be
not?
Is there going to be like dueling Penny Lanes?
Yes.
I mean,
Dana Fuchs just come back as that character.
Yeah.
No, let's give that one to TV Carpio because she's barely in this one. So we'll be like, ignore Prudence from the first movie. She's now Penny Lane.
Done.
Her sister?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, we can go with that. From Ohio? Yeah. That was actually filmed in Brooklyn, by the way. So if you look very carefully, you can see the New York skyline in the background.
Yeah.
Welcome to Ohio, everyone. New York skyline. Manhattan.
Ohio wishes.
What else? There's also on the DVD alternative takes for being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, which, I mean, I feel like Julie Taymor was like, hey, Eddie Izzard, which is how he went at the time, by the way. We didn't discuss this before. Eddie Izzard, now, is it Susan? She goes by a different name now.
But in all the publicity for the Scottish play, or what? No, Hamlet?
Eddie.
Hamlet?
It's still Eddie.
It's, yeah.
In all the publicity, so I don't... Because anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It's both. It's both? She said that it's Susie or Eddie.
Susie! That's it, not Susan.
Yeah.
But yeah, Julie Taymor let Eddie Izzard just, like, go.
Just let her off the leash and, like, press record for a couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah, it was... when you watch that, you're just like, what is actual choreography and what is just you improvising? And then you get the blue people. If you haven't seen this, again, if you have not seen this movie in a while, the blue people are just like 7 foot tall, practical people with the Julie Taymor masks based off of Yellow Submarine characters. Yes? I haven't seen that movie. I will admit that. We're doing great, everyone.
I taught the Yellow Submarine to first graders in Queens once, and I believe that's true.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you so much for that. Did they enjoy it?
Yeah. Their parents did at graduation, too. They sang it for graduation.
What about Octopus's Garden as the disco
song? I
put
Sweetener tracks in, though, because I didn't trust them. So.
Oh. Wow. Oh, okay.
It was them. I just had auto-tune on the computer, not in real life.
Sorry, I'm reading in the chat. Anthony and Joe again mention in the sequel they can save. Sorry, I can't believe we're reading this out loud. In the sequel, they can save money by using Grindr to meet the semen budget.
I forgot to mention my parents are live streaming this, so I'm so sorry I asked. I really thought that.
Hi, mom and dad. My parents, my family is watching this too. Welcome.
I thought that's why sailors. They were trying to get out of the war. I was like, that seems like a pretty good chance. Yeah, yeah. Go for that. Cotton balls. Wait, can I say my flat now? My flat is these people went to Princeton and they don't they think that you could swallow cotton balls and it's gonna come up on an X-ray? Semen's so much more realistic.
But then you get that one line from the other friend who's there that when he's like, oh, I can either go to war or I can go to Canada, and she's like, so learn French or die. That one always sticks with me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Learn French or die. Yeah.
That's
what they say when you enter France.
Two options. Yeah.
I think JP's French. Was that the accent, JP? Was that?
Did I do it?
Very close.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, boss.
My pleasure.
Do we have anything else though we want to talk about?
I don't know. Let me look through my notes.
Oh my god.
Everyone, give Ian a full minute while he scrolls through his notes.
I'm starting from the top. Okay. Remember Hitchhiking.
That's another podcast from the top. You should listen to them. They're great.
Oh,
I've been on there.
Doesn't want kids. Oh, Army Boyfriend is dead.
Spencer Liff. Spencer Liff was the boyfriend. Liff.
Oh.
Who got killed in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Spencer Liff.
Yeah. He's in that one song. Oh, by the way, that's another story that I have. Hold for the card. Hold Me Tight is the song. So, again, in college, I was obsessed with this movie, and I can't believe I'm telling this story. For our school's student-run dance company, I choreographed a whole musical theater dance style to that song. It was wild. If I can find it, I will put it on the socials, but, like, I don't know what I was doing. I was in college. What?
Yeah, no.
I have some college friends here. They probably remember that time.
Yeah, we all do pretty high concept contemporary choreography for our student run theater. Like,
to Beatles music, yes, you're right.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Who among us?
You should have seen his Yellow Submarine with
the
pigs.
Choreography.
That shit was wild.
Choreography.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Was it all just like arm movements and...
See, honestly, if you don't give kids choreography, they're not going to sing. But as soon as you give them choreography, they sing. So I don't know. I probably had them jump.
That's a good tip for all the teachers who are listening.
I was going to say, that one's for free, yeah.
That's on the house.
That's on the house. Some people had to pay to listen to that one. You, the listeners who didn't come here to support me, that's fine. But you got that tip for free. Woo, we're spicy tonight. Okay. Did you have anything else?
I mean, I have lots, but, you know.
So much.
Yeah. Jude got a job. Lucy's sad.
something about, oh, we're in the middle of a revolution, you're drawing doodles and cartoons, and, like, he's just really upset about that. Oh, revolution, that song, it kind of is. This is how I do my podcast, so listen to Glee Aggressive.
You forgot the clap.
I did.
Glee. Aggressive.
Oh my god, thank you. I don't know. I mean, I feel like nothing I can't say in Sharps and Flats, I guess.
What do we think about the cast in general? We didn't really talk about the actors. Like, really, I mean, good. I think Evan Rachel Wood was really the only one that had a little more of a resume compared to the others at this point.
No, that sounds right.
I'm not being funny this time, honestly. I just remember her from that movie 13. Has anyone seen that one?
Yes.
With a young Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Pre-High School Musical, Vanessa Hudgens.
Wow.
It was just called 13?
It was just called 13, yeah.
And Jason Robert Brown stole that title?
Correct. Correct.
Well, no. So, the movie, it's written out. Jason Robert Brown used 1 and 3.
I see.
Yeah.
So, very different. And then when Netflix made the 13, the movie... the musical movie, they used 1 and 3. Anyway, I know way too much about that. Anyone else? Any other things that you want to mention?
Oh, my God. The movie was just insane from start to finish. I feel like, how can I
Did it remember? Feel like a drug trip?
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, I was extremely high while I watched it, so... Just kidding. Or am I?
I mean, even watch when you watch it sober, you're just like... What did I watch?
Truly.
What? There's just so much. And then, it kind of lulls in the book scenes, if you will call it that. But, yeah, and I oddly misremembered this being more like an operetta, where I thought it was the songs were closer together instead of being spread out from each other.
I think that could have worked. I don't know.
I would love to see this on stage, to be totally honest. I feel like we could rework it a little bit, and it can work. That's why I posed the question that you all shut down.
I would get rid of most of the montages. I think a couple of them were good, but I was exhausted by montages by the end.
Of course.
So maybe on stage it would be good, because I don't have to throw Vietnam bombs every single time somebody's singing about something. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Or strawberry bombs.
Strawberry bombs.
Anyway, so as promised... Where's my bag? There you are. I am going to do some crowd work. Oh, no. That's what I was on. So, hi. If you have not listened to this podcast before, there's a section that I like to call Sharp and Flat that we are going into right now. So, yay!
Yay!
Yeah!
Sharp Flat.
So, in this section, how do I start this? 350 episodes, I don't even remember. In this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. You were asking earlier about that. Now you got it, right? Yeah. So I'm going to come out. And I have stuff for you all. Does anyone have anything that they want to mention? And you, the live stream listeners, Joe and Anthony, I think you're the only ones. If you have any sharps or flats, let me know. So, who watched the movie recently? This is great. Oh, great. This table over here. I'm going to bug you guys. What's your name?
I'm Charlotte.
Okay. Do you have a sharp or a flat?
I have a flat, and it is Evan Rachel Wood's delivery on her thing about giving big birth is narcissism.
Oh, right. Yeah. Having babies is pure narcissism. That's right.
Yeah.
There's a full beat where, she walks, hits her mark, looks at the cameraman, and then delivers the line, but it starts, mid, ew, that's disgusting. It feels really forced to me.
Gentlemen, what do you think about that? Guys on stage. All the men on stage. What do we think about that?
I approve.
Yeah, yeah. Checks out.
No notes.
Yeah.
Hold on. I've got a strawberry for you. You get a strawberry. It's nice and fake.
Yay!
I'm sorry, you raised your hand too. What's your name?
I'm Angela.
Angela, do you have a sharp or a flat?
I have nothing. I just
love being here.
Yay!
That's a shark. That's a shark. Yeah.
Can I keep her? She's having fun. Okay, so I see somebody who has also been a former guest, so she kind of knows. I'm picking on you now. What's your name?
My name's Sam.
Hi, Sam. Samantha Blinn, everyone. She's been on a couple episodes.
Yay! Yay!
Been a while. We're going to talk about you coming back. Okay, sharp or flat?
I have a flat, but it's not related to the content of the movie. It's just the fact that the last time I watched this was with my ex-boyfriend. So does that count?
Yes.
Yay.
What a jerk.
Good.
You're
going to
get a strawberry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did it for the strawberry.
You did it for the strawberry. Woo. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Guys on stage, do we have any? I have a sharp, actually. Watching this, I was surprised about how practical, again, practical how everything is. When we get into the benefit of Mr. Kite, there is this whole, like, giant puppet with six hands and arms that then they pull a string that a head lifts up and there's a tent. And all of that actually happens. And I was flabbergasted. $45 million, everyone. Okay. So, usually at this, after Sharp and Flat, I ask people, you know, what are we going to add to our life's playlist? But because this is a live show and because I do have some singers on stage, we will be entertaining you all with some songs. So, traffic jam. Okay, so first we have Jeff. Jeff is gonna, well, do you want to introduce it or you want me to introduce you? What do you want?
I don't know.
Okay. We have Jeff.
Oh, darling, please believe me.
Everyone, right? So, we have another message from Anthony and Joe, who are the only ones, I guess, that got into the chat room for the live stream. This is a good... Joe, this song is for you. So, we have next Ian. Ian, do you want me to...
Yep.
Yeah. Ian is going to sing us a little ditty about with a character name in it.
I was going to say, what if it was Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds? It's not, it's Hey Jude. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart, then you can
start to make it better. So let it out and let it in. Hey Jude, begin. You're waiting for someone to perform with. And don't you know that it's just you? Hey Jude, you'll do. The movement you need is on your shoulder. You know it. Na 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 na. Hey Jude, don't be.
Let's do it one more time.
Na 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 na. Hey Jude.
I just wanna get some stuff away out of the way because Nick has a song for everyone. He's got so. He doesn't know I'm going to tell this story. Nick also has a YouTube channel where he did...
Well, I mean, it still exists.
It still exists, but you haven't uploaded
I haven't
anything
touched it in
forever.
An uncomfortable amount of years.
So, what did you call them?
Monday Mashups.
Monday Mashups. So, yes, another fan in the audience, I can tell, who is definitely not his partner. So...
Hi, Carl.
So, Nick has a little mashup for you all to enjoy.
Tell you something. I think you'll understand when say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. And when you touch me, I feel happy inside. Such a feeling that my love I can't hide, I can't hide, I can't hide. Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away into the universe. Across the universe, that's the title of the movie. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Jagaru Deva. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change
my world. Images of broken light which dance before me like a million eyes. They call on me and on across the universe. Thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. You got that something I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your
So, Mark has opted out of this because...
I wanted the show to sound nice.
Well, you haven't heard me sing yet, so... hold on, let me grab my emotional support sheet music, because it's time for me to sing. But before we do that, I'd just like to thank the Triad Theater for... for letting me put my little show on the, in here. I'd also like to thank JP, our tech guy. Meg, our videographer for the evening. So be sure to check these on the socials at some point. And also in charge of the live stream. So hi, live stream. Also our house manager, Russ. And of course, you, the audience, for coming out on a Monday night. Gentlemen, plugs. Let's do plugs now before we close off with my song. So let's start with Nick. Nick, what do you have to plug?
Go. I'll go last. Yeah, my YouTube channel that's like 15 years old is a plug.
Seriously,
I am doing. I mean,
I love watching them every once in a while. I'm not gonna lie to you. They are
fine.
Quite fun, especially the Brady Bunch one.
They took a lot of time. It's not really a plug because it's not public necessarily, but we're doing a reading of a musical that I'm writing in Chicago in July.
Ooh.
So yeah. There's no socials on it yet, so you can't follow it.
Mark, you're next. What do you have to plug or promote?
My YouTube channel, Broadway by Ghostlight. Lots of fun theater history there, and I just started Broadway Jeopardy every week.
Whoa!
So if you like trivia, come play Broadway Jeopardy.
Are you going to talk about Across the Universe on there? I mean,
it's actually just all about Across the Universe.
It's all about Across the Universe. And the amount of semen used in to get out of the army, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah.
It would've
Sorry,
worked.
Mom and Dad. I had to bring it up. It's called a callback. Ian, what do you have to plug or promote?
You can find me at iBroski on all the social medias. I'm currently working on my second album, so... Yeah. So, you can listen to the first album wherever you stream music. If you want to donate, because I'm doing a little crowdfunding project for the second album, that link can be found in my social medias. And you can listen to Glee, Aggressive, wherever you stream podcasts. Someone on the stage might be coming up in an episode soon, so definitely listen.
And I won't miss our call time for that one like I did the last time. Okay.
It's okay, you were so sick that day.
I was so sick that day. I fell asleep and didn't listen to my alarm, so... And then, but like, we made it work. We did it. I don't even remember what that episode was on.
Me neither.
Great. Jeff, what do you have to plug or promote?
The Love of Cinema. We were on your Reefer Madness episode. We're going to do another. We're going to figure it. Yeah, we're doing it.
We're figuring stuff out. I'm going to bring Jeff and the guys back, and apparently I'm allegedly going on your podcast or something.
Yeah.
Okay. and for, you know, Life's But a Song, you can listen to this anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Of course, I hope everyone here is a listener, right?
Yeah!
Great. Thank you for lying. all the socials are at But a Song Pod, or if you want to talk more about Across the Universe, I mean, I can go further in depth. We're on a time constraint here, so yeah, that's it. I guess it's time for me to sing. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. with my emotional support sheet music here. I'm ready whenever you are. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be in time. It's easy. Love is all you need.
Love, love, love. Love.
There's nothing you can know that can't be known.
Love.
Nothing you can see that isn't shown. Nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be. It's easy. Thank you for coming out. 350 episodes. Woo! Woo! Good night! That was so much fun to record. I had a great time, and I would like to thank again Nick for everything he's done behind the scenes. I would like to thank Ian, Mark, and Jeff for being such great sports. And be on the lookout for future live episodes. We would love to do them. And by we, I mean I. It was fun. If you have any suggestions, feel free to email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. And if you would like to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, 351, haha, and we will be talking about the 2005 version of The Producers. Again, thank you everyone for 350 episodes. Here's to more of them. Here's to another 350. Cheers.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.